The gospel reading this morning is recorded in the 25th chapter of Matthew and begins with the 31st verse. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whenever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you have done it to me." Then they will go away in eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to Christ. Lord, may the words of our mouths, meditation of our hearts, be always acceptable in thy sight. Our rock, our Savior. Winners and losers. There was a man, or a story of a man that was traveling. Had at night, he had come a long way. He had driven all night and still had a long way to go. Dawn, and he decided he just too tired. He better stop and take a little rest. It was getting dangerous driving. And so he came into a smaller town, and he pulled up and to the side of a park. Turned off the car and put his seat back and leaned back to take a nap. Well, it so happened that he had pulled up in the city park and there was a jogging path around the perimeter. And so he had been back, leaning back about 10 or 15 minutes, and there was a tap on the window. So he was just nodding off, and he said, rolled down the window, and there was a jogger. And who was it asking about joggers? Well, that's Seth. Somebody did. The jogger said, "Sir, do you know what time it is?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, it's 8:15. He had looked up on his clock in the car, and the jogger said, "Thank you," and left. And he was leaning back and just about to get off to sleep again. A tap came again. "Excuse me, sir, do you know what time it is?" He said, 8:25. Jogger said, "Thanks," left. And he could see that there were other joggers, many out on the path there. And he says, "It's just a matter of time. Somebody's going to ask me again." So he got a pen and marked on a piece of paper, "I do not know the time." And he put it up in his windshield. He leaned back and dozed off just a bit, and there came a tap on the window again. The jogger says, "Sir, sir, It's 8:45. You know, sometimes you can't win no matter what you do. I'm sure that some of you have noticed that. I know I have. But some people have more than their share of bad luck, and that is true, and we label them losers. I suppose that there is no sadder label to place on someone than loser. Maybe you think of yourself as a loser. I know many people do at times, and then they are brought back to reality. But listen, you're not losers, not in God's eyes, and never have been. We need to think closely before we think of someone else as a loser. David Barber is a Lutheran pastor in Honolulu. It's a tough posting, I guess. But he tells a fascinating story about a man who bore the label loser. It was in a newspaper story about those who fail. And the focus of the article centered on a historian who had written a book about people he called Americans Born Losers. In his research, the author of this book came across an institute in the 19th century called the Mercantile Agency. This agency employed informants to file reports on the credit worthiness of their neighbors. And according to the author, it was like a national bureau of standards for judging winners and losers. One such report was filed on a man named William Henry Brisbane. Brisbane was operating a business in Cincinnati in the 1840s. An informant of the Mercantile Agency reported that Brisbane had failed in every occupation he had ever tried. They included farming, publishing, and even practicing medicine. The report also predicted that he would finally fail for the rest of his life. The biggest evidence of this conclusion was the fact that he was a loser had inherited $100,000. And in the 1850s, that was a huge amount of money. It was a fortune. And apparently, Brisbane had spent most of the $100,000 in a very short time, kind of like lottery winners do nowadays. But after the author did a bit of research, an entirely different story began to emerge. Actually, William Henry Brisbane had such a successful South Carolina plantation that it amassed that much worth. But he decided when he inherited all of that slavery was wrong. And as a result, he sold the plantation and all that that meant, including the slaves, moved to the north. But he felt guilty about having slaves and having left them behind when he moved north. The Mercantile Agency had labeled him a loser, but I feel that God may not label him a loser. What Mr. Brisbane did was take his $100,000, returned to South Carolina, bought the slaves from that plantation, took them back with him, and freed them. We can think of that story today for a moment in light of the gospel from Matthew. This is a powerful story, and Christ was speaking. And Christ tells a story that indicates when Christ sets up his kingdom, there will be some clear losers. In fact, they will lose everything that they have. And there will be some clear winners. People who have it all. Let's listen again to another translation, how Jesus describes who will win and who will lose. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on a glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He put the sheep on His right, and He will put the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the earth. I told you the winners got it all." The winners get it all. But listen to what made the sheep winners. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed something to drink, and I was in need of clothes. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the winners will answer him. Actually, it says the righteous will answer him, but I say the winners will do it just as well. "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, for you losers, go to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." The losers will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me." Then, says Jesus, the losers will go away to eternal punishment, but the winners to eternal life. How many of you want to be losers? Yeah, that's what I thought. We all want to be winners. Do you think, in light of the text, that it might be good to reassess some of the priorities that we have? Some keep them in as their main focus, but it's real easy for priorities to drift off. We might start here. What does it mean to have it all? Does it mean a mansion down on the coast, on the beach? Maybe a private jet, some of the things you've dreamed of. Several million dollars in the bank. An email magazine is online. It's called Help for Sunday, and the four is the letter four, I mean, number four. It shared a true story from a minister named Max. He works with the homeless in the streets of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Max became friends with a street person in Fort Lauderdale, and his name was Archie. Archie has severe gout in both feet. He can hardly walk. Each day he goes on the street and he sells the Fort Lauderdale paper to those who will buy. And selling the daily paper is his livelihood. That's it. Whether he feels bad, whether he's sick, whether he's tired, whether it's rain or shine, Archie sells those papers. He lives in a little room, one-room apartment that he rents by the day. And so he depends on the sales of each day to pay the rent and pay for food and utilities on that little room. And one day, Max met Archie, as he often did, on the street. And it was something about Archie that he knew was different. And he could see the look on his face, and he looked very excited. And he told Max he had just had to come and see his apartment. He had something to show him. So Max hesitated, he says, because that was a dark and a dangerous-looking alley where he had to go down. But Max followed Archie down to his little apartment. And they arrived at the apartment. He said, he told Max, Archie said, each day I've been saving just a little bit of money. And then he threw up the door and he said, look. He said, there in that dingy, small, one-room apartment was a sofa. Had several rips in it where the stuffing was sticking out, but it belonged to Archie. There was a junky little black and white TV. Didn't have any rabbit ears. It had a coat hanger twisted around on it. And there was even a recliner. They were all Archie's. It was evident that Archie had saved a long time to have anything this nice. Archie looked at Max and said, I have it all now. I have all I need. We can't imagine. Suddenly, however, Max noticed that there was stretched out on the recliner a big old man. He was a friend of Archie's. Max recognized him as another one of the street people. Archie didn't mention him. But he said, as big as he was, it was hard not to notice him. So he said, Archie, what is he doing here? And Archie answered him, he needs a place to stay. Now that I have all I need, don't you think I should share? Do we have everything we need? Do you have everything you need? You know, I didn't say everything you want. I fall into that same category. Certainly have everything I need. If you have everything you need, then you have it all. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you have all you need, there's no way in the world that you could be called a loser. At least you can't if you're as smart as Archie. When asked about the big homeless person on his recliner, Archie answered, he needs a place to stay. Now that I have all that I need, don't you think I should share? You know, it's real tempting just to leave you right there with that question hanging in the air. Now that I have all that I need, don't you think I should share? It's a very haunting question as you think about it in private. I said I want us to rethink all of our priorities, all of our values in light of today's text. This is the day that we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, sometimes called the Reign of Christ. There will come a time when Christ will reign over all. And he has already made it clear, and when that day comes, everything as we know it will be turned upside down. Those who think they are winners will suddenly find that they are in fact losers. And those who are so often labeled losers will be at the front of the pack. It is because winners understand that God's plan for the world is what you learned in Sunday school long ago. Loving and sharing, looking out for the weak and the less fortunate. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, said Jesus, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep, that is the winners, on the right, and the goats, the losers, on the left. And whom we believe are winners and whom are losers says a lot about where we will stand on the day of judgment.